Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
Here's your host, 6'1" former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome in to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. That's right. It is the fastest 2 hours of radio, 8 to 10 Eastern, each and every Friday night. And I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. I tell you what, you are in for a real treat tonight. We are locked and loaded. You don't want to miss any segment on our program. Bruce Arians, the Arizona Cardinals head coach, is going to be joining us. We've got some incredible guests. But right now, I'm going to open up the mic. I am so excited. He is back in studio with us. You know who it is? Our executive producer right here at SB Nation, the next generation of sports radio, and that is Mr. Ronnie Culver. Hello, Ronnie.
Hello.
It is so good to have you back with us, and I know you are a baseball guy. Talk about that home run derby. What do you think of Mr. Aaron Judge? Big boy.
What can you say about it right now? I mean, that hasn't already been said. This is, I almost want to say, unprecedented. I mean, we've gone and talked about how Mike Trout is arguably the best all-around baseball player, and I'm not going to take that away from Trout at all, but we haven't really seen a rookie unfold like this as much as Aaron Judge has this season. And it's what I'm most excited about, not only just for the home run derby. I mean, it's just the way he's been hitting them. I mean, those are just massive bombs. I think the only thing that was wrong of Major League Baseball was having him such a high seed because he never got to hit first. He always had to hit last. And so I would be curious if he was able to hit first and put up larger home run totals, what his final tally would have been.
Well, I have to wonder, too, you know, going into the home run derby, what were your expectations? Because he has had such an incredible season where you just like, I can't wait to get in front of the TV and watch this guy light it up.
I knew what he was going to do. It was not a shock that he was hitting these monster home runs. It was not a shock that he was hitting so many of them and that he was just so comfortable doing it. None of that surprised me. I think the only thing surprising from the home run derby didn't even deal with him. It dealt with Giancarlo Stanton.
So what do you think has been the key to just his incredible success that he has had this season? Obviously, he showcased, you know, what he is capable of doing at the home run derby. But here's a guy, really, as a rookie, I mean, he's come out of nowhere, and he has made a very big splash.
It's almost, you want to say it's almost out of nowhere just because of how rapidly he's progressed. You know, there's always a little slump off once you finally make it into the bigs. That it takes you a little bit longer to get to the likes of where he is right now. You have to kind of get your feet wet. But really, he's not the only rookie doing that right now.
Well, it's been an exciting year in MLB, and it's going to be an exciting show tonight here at SB Nation Radio, because coming up next, Arizona Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians. That's right, he's going to be joining us.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio and the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell, and the countdown to the start of the 2017 NFL season is underway. But what better way to get you ready than visiting with the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and that is Bruce Arians. Bruce has just released this week his new book, The Quarterback Whisperer, How to Build an Elite NFL Quarterback. It is, I have to say, it's a fascinating read that details the stories and strategies and makeup of premier quarterbacks, including the men he trained, such as Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck, and the resurgent Carson Palmer. Joining us tonight also is Lars Anderson. He is the co-author of the book and is the senior writer at Bleacher Report. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
It's good to have you with us. Well, Coach, let's start with you, because we've got a lot of ground to cover in a short period of time, and you truly have. You have worked with so many elite NFL quarterbacks, and no two quarterbacks are the same, but you have the ability to bring out the best. So what is the key to developing a quarterback for success? Give us your philosophy and approach and how to maximize that talent.
I think the biggest thing is building trust. You know, you have to have a relationship where you're both truly honest with each other. And each player learns differently, and you want to maximize their talent. So, for instance, Peyton loved to have a ton of information. Mm-hmm. He wanted to know everything. Ben, he just wanted to know how they played defense and just let him play. And so you have to know how each guy plays freely and still is prepared and ready to roll.
Bruce, you have coached for 40 years in the collegiate and the professional ranks. You talk about developing trust, and that is so key. And as a head coach, I talk about this many times on the show, it's one thing to communicate, but how do you connect with your players, and how do you go about developing the trust that you just mentioned?
Well, it starts in our first meeting. You know, we have three words on the back of our T-shirts: trust, loyalty, and respect. And learning what the word means, first of all, and then each and every individual in our situation, if it's not perfect, it's going to get coached. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I coach it, it's not really pretty, but it's not criticism, it's coaching. And I learned a long time ago from one of the greatest ever, Bear Bryant, that you coach them hard and you hug them later. So if I'm on a guy one day particularly real hard, I make sure I go through the locker room and find him, let him know he's okay. And it was just his football that was bad that day. It wasn't him.
Well, players will forget, right, what you say to them, but they'll never forget how you make them feel.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And like I said, it's not criticism, it's coaching. And once they realize that, no, you're just trying to make them better. And that's really what NFL players, all they want is someone who really cares enough to try to make them better.
Bruce Arians is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, two-time NFL Coach of the Year. And he is with us because we're talking about his brand new book. You got to go out and get a copy of it. It is a compelling read. It is titled Quarterback Whisperer, How to Build an Elite NFL Quarterback. So let's talk about those distinct characteristics and what separates a good quarterback from a great one. What are the things that you're looking for, because you have truly groomed some of the biggest and the best stars, Bruce, in the NFL?
Well, I call it grit. You can easily measure arm talent and athletic ability, height, weight, speed, jumps, and all that kind of stuff. But to be a true leader of men, you got to have grit. You got to be able to handle failure and success equally. And you have to be on top of your game at all times. But to find those guys who are actual leaders, and every guy's different. There's different ways to lead. It's not rah-rah all the time or get in somebody's face. It's just sometimes just knowing exactly what you're doing at all times. And a player say, hey, what do I have on this route? And you just tell them, you know. But each guy be able to lead, and you'll have something very special.
You had mentioned, you know, the influence of Paul Bear Bryant. What an incredible learning experience you had being under his wing. Is he the gentleman that's had the biggest impact on you as far as your development of as a coach and your skills and just motivating players overall?
One of the two. You know, I was very fortunate my senior year to play for Jimmy Sharp, who was Coach Bryant's offensive coordinator for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then I later got to work with Coach Bryant himself. But Jimmy was a master of getting motivating players and making you believe that you could do things you really couldn't do. Every time we stepped on the field, we thought we were going to win. Coach Bryant, again, was an amazing guy. He was probably the master of personnel. We played 66 players in every game. He substituted every single player, offense, defense, special teams. And not only that, but he could read people. He could walk into the office and tell if the secretary was up or down, and he felt a pat her on the back, and, man, she felt great, you know. Uh-huh. And you had a smart-ass young coach like me. He knew he could just rip my legs off from me every day and see if I'd fight back.
Hey, Arizona Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Also, his wingman that's joining us, that is the co-author of the new book, Quarterback Whisperer, How to Build an Elite NFL Quarterback. That is the co-author, Lars Anderson. He's also the senior writer with Bleacher Report. And Lars, we want to welcome you into the show. What was it like to have this tremendous opportunity, I would say a unique opportunity, to work with one of the best coaches in today's game and a quarterback guru?
Yeah, it was fascinating for me. This is my eighth book and the first time I've ever collaborated with anyone. And, Bruce and I just hit it off so well. We spent time on the golf course, time out in Arizona, at his house out in Arizona, back in Georgia. We played a lot of golf together, as mentioned. And we had a real good rapport. And, Bruce is unlike any football coach I've ever been around. One, you know, he doesn't play politics. He didn't have an 8-8 until just a few years ago. You know, he always figured, hey, and didn't really even have a resume. My resume is what you see on tape. And so Bruce never played that game. And I think that's one reason why he didn't get a chance to be an NFL head coach late in his career. But now, you know, you talk to players across the league and not just players on the Cardinals roster. Bruce is by far and away the most popular coach among players, and it's just because he's authentic. He says what he means and means what he says. And hey, what other coach has a tailgate at his out at his car after every game and he invites players, win or lose, uh-huh. He has the players come over. And you know, at that tailgate, Bruce will, as he mentioned, if a starting quarterback threw an interception that cost him the game, you know what Bruce is going to do? He's going to put his arm around that quarterback and say, hey, we'll get after it tomorrow.
How has he changed the perception of this team, of this organization, since coming on board? Because he has truly, I mean, he's had incredible success with the Cardinals.
Well, he's turned it all around. And, it goes back to his relationship with his players. The players care deeply about Bruce. And you go all across the locker room, you talk to the offensive guys, the defensive guys, they all want to win for Bruce. And it's because they know that he cares about them. And again, he's authentic. And they see that. And, you know, you go back to Bruce's childhood. Bruce grew up in a working-class neighborhood. When he went to Virginia Tech, he was the first player at Virginia Tech to room with an African-American roommate. It doesn't matter. Bruce doesn't see race, doesn't see color, doesn't see anything other than can you play football. And he relates to, you know, the high rollers in a boardroom, and he relates to guys at the end of the bar. And, again, I think he's probably the only NFL head coach who has tended bar. And Bruce learned all sorts of secrets behind the bar that he was looking at when he was at Virginia Tech and as a graduate assistant at Virginia Tech.
You're listening to The Voice. That is the co-author, Lars Anderson, the brand-new book by Bruce Arians that is out right now, Quarterback Whisperer, How to Build an Elite NFL Quarterback. You guys are helping us power through the dog days of summer. And so, Coach, the countdown is on to the start of the 2017 NFL season. What are your expectations for this upcoming year?
For the Cardinals, we're expecting to win the Super Bowl. And that's our goal every year. Uh-huh. We never shy away from that. We'll talk about it in our first meeting. We'll set goals and plans, and then we go to work and put that all aside and start daily grind and make sure that we're accomplishing our goals every day on a daily basis. And that'll get us into the season, and one by one, take them one at a time.
We're quickly running out of time with Bruce Arians. I got to ask you, as we get ready to wrap it up, how's Carson Palmer doing? What was the focus for him in the offseason? And I understand he had to kind of cut back on his reps. You want him fresh. You want him ready for the start of the season and just limiting those throws in the spring.
Yeah, he's a workaholic. That's the thing. You got to really watch him because he's going to overwork. Mm-hmm. He loves working out, and he's in great shape mentally and physically. He probably got a couple more days in the spring because he was twisting my arm to let him practice.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, you know, if you go back and look at November, December, he was probably playing as great as he has in his career. And we want him keeping that fresh for the whole season.
Well, we wish you continued success. Congratulations on the book. Of course, it is titled Quarterback Whisperer, How to Build an Elite NFL Quarterback. Bruce Arians, the Arizona Cardinals head coach and co-author, Lars Anderson, has been with us. And, Coach, on a personal note, all I have to say is my sons that are 15 and 10, they are the biggest Arizona Cardinal fans. We were out there in the month of February. We took a tour of the stadium, and we were so impressed with that incredible 8-foot bronze statue, sculpture that honored Pat Tillman. It's an amazing place, and we hope to be out there for a game sometime. So thank you so much, Coach.
Oh, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Tell him I said hello.
I will. Much more coming your way tonight at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show, the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back to SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. We are so glad that you are along with us. So free agency, it continues, and several more NBA free agents have found home. So we are delighted to have with us from Basketball Insiders, basketballinsiders.com. Check out their website. That is Mr. Steve Kyler back in the saddle. Good evening, Steve.
How are you, Alyssa?
I'm fantastic. So let's start off our conversation tonight with perhaps one of the most notable offseason moves that have taken place. I'm going to head up I-35 and into Oklahoma City. Let's talk about the Thunder. High marks for them. What do you think about the addition of Paul George?
Well, you know, trading for a player of Paul George's caliber is a huge thing. And when you get it for pieces that frankly weren't part of the core future You know, they'd given Dick Grohl a depot a bunch of money last summer, but, you know, after a year there, he didn't kind of carve himself out as indispensable. And then, you know, Domantas Sabonis, you like, always like a young big, but again, both of those guys acquired in exchange for Serge Ibaka at the draft last year. So if you think about it, you turn Serge Ibaka into Paul George. That's a pretty good upgrade. But again, there's some risks there. He does have 1 year left on his deal. But he's already kind of come out and said, look, you know, all this stuff about me going to the Lakers, maybe it's a little overstated. You know, I'm a little more open-minded. So it's an interesting look for the Thunder, because now you get a really good complimentary star player to put next to the MVP. And again, didn't cost you a ton in your future. That's not a bad move.
How much does this improve Oklahoma City's chances in the ever so tough Western Conference?
Well, again, when you have an MVP that kind of got there all by himself in terms of the playoffs, and then you had arguably another MVP quality player, you know, now you're back to where you were. You got a 1-2 punch that's as good as anybody in basketball.
Right.
You've got all these kind of, you know, good little role player type guys that are in the equation. You pick up Patrick Patterson on the Chiefs, also in free agency, a good kind of all around guy. There's a lot to like there. I think that, you know, look, you're still talking about being on the outside looking in, but no question, they're better today than they were before the draft.
What I think is really cool, too, is Thunder fans seem to be very fired up. They love this acquisition. And when Paul George arrived in Oklahoma City, he received a very warm welcome. They want to keep him beyond 1 year. Talk to us about that, Steve.
Yeah, this really is a one-year recruiting pitch. I mean, there's no other way to kind of say it. You get him in the building. You get him to know the coaches. And this is what you ultimately want to do when you trade for a guy that is in a final year of his contract. Is you want to go into it eyes wide open. You want to know what the situation is. But again, you're trading for him now to not only help you win, because he's motivated to win, but you're also doing it so he can get to know what you're all about, so that when it comes to free agency, you're not going, hey, welcome to Oklahoma City, which, by the way, isn't the most glamorous marketplace in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But when you get inside the organization and you really get inside the culture of who they are as a team, they're one of the best in basketball. You just have to get comfortable with the idea that Oklahoma City isn't the bright lights of LA and isn't, you know, the glitz and glamour of an NBA finals run every year. But again, we'll see. And Paul has said this. He said, look, if we're in the conference finals or the NBA finals, I'd be foolish to leave. So you like that there's an open-mindedness to it. And I think the narrative that it was the Lakers or bust was always overstated.
So what grade would you give Sam Presti, general manager Sam Presti, with the addition of Paul George? I mean, he's got depth. He's got experience now. And what the addition of Raymond Felton?
Yeah, Ray's a good support player. But again, when you talk about giving a grade, when you can get a bona fide two-way all-star, a guy that plays both sides of the basketball, that's an incredible competitor, that's still very young, and you can do it for Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis, that is a huge win. I mean, I don't know how you can grade that as anything other than an A, and then you go out and get Patrick Patterson and Raymond Felton to kind of fill in around the edges, and they're not done yet on that front either, and they still have a lot of guys that they've drafted that are still kind of young and promising players. You know, they drafted Terrence Ferguson, who's just this exciting above-the-rim guy. So they've got a lot to work with right now. And when you think about that, that's what you want to be. And that's what the Thunder traditionally has been. Every step of the way, they've been able to create things and trades that other teams, frankly, can't get done.
So many storylines in free agency, and we are so thrilled to have with us tonight Steve Kuyler from Basketball Insiders. Of course, you can go back and listen to this entire interview. If you are just tuning in, check us out at podcastarena.com. You can always send us a tweet too, at @eradiosports. And Steve, connect with our audience across the country. Lots of great information at Basketball Insiders.
Yeah, you can always find me on Twitter. I am Steve Kuyler, NBA. Of course, basketballinsiders.com is the website. Twitter handle there, B-Ball Insiders. You know, if there's anything going on in basketball, we're going to keep you up to date about it.
Okay, since we are talking about Oklahoma City, it's been a while since we've had you on the show, a few weeks back. I wanted to get your thoughts on Russell Westbrook, him winning and being the MVP in 2017. And also, two parts of this question. I mean, how much longer do you think that he will ultimately be in Oklahoma City? Does he miss Cali?
Well, you know, on the MVP, I mean, it was a tight race this year. There were a lot of really deserving candidates. When I went to cast my vote, you know, I was torn. I really thought James Harden had a special year in Houston. What LeBron James did this year was incredible. What Kawhi Leonard did this year was incredible. Even Isaiah Thomas in Boston, what he did all season long was incredible. But what it decided for me was simply this, that, you know, averaging a triple-double in a season and breaking the most triple-doubles in a single season record has not been done. You know, the greatest in the game that have ever played. Michael Jordan didn't do it. Kobe didn't do it. Shaq, Tim Duncan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. List any of the guys that you would put on Mount Rushmore of basketball. They didn't do it. And Russ did. And that's what won it out for me, is just the historical context of what he accomplished. In terms of how long he'll be there, we'll see. You know, James Harden got the super max contract, added 5 more years to his deal to the tune of $256 million, $250 million
Wow.
invested in James Harden. That same number is available to Russell Westbrook. But, you know, he has not yet at this point signed it. What he's, it's been presented to him. They're ready to do it. All indications are that he's likely going to, but, you know, until he does, he doesn't. And you know, it that's how it'll play out. But, you know, Russ has been very different in all of this. If you went back to that first year of kind of, you know, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and you said, Steve, which one of those guys wouldn't be on the team in 5 years? I would have thought it was Russell Westbrook. I would have been totally Russell Westbrook. And the fact that he not only redid his deal to stay on a little bit longer, mm-hmm. it's been impressive.
That is interesting. Hey, Steve Kyler with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's always on our show. Check him out, basketballinsiders.com. You were just breaking it down as far as with James Harden with that league record, $228 million. Do you believe in your mind? I mean, you were very high on him to be the MVP. Is he worth that amount? And because it really does solidify him as the face of the Rockets.
Well, I always tell people this, worth is about the market, and the market says you're worth, you know, a certain percentage of the salary cap, and he is worth that top tier. That's what the max says he's worth. You know, we'll see. You know, there are very few players in sports that truly generate their revenue based on themselves alone. You know, LeBron James lands on any team, all of a sudden they're going to sell $100 million more in everything, so he's certainly worth every penny he's paid. But James Harden has been really good for business. He signed a $200 million deal with Adidas. His product is moving off the shelves like crazy. Certainly he's an icon because of the beard and the way he plays. The season last year with Houston, we'll see what this year is. You know, adding Chris Paul is huge. They're trying to make this deal for Carmelo Anthony. So if they can get that done, now you're talking James Harden, CP3, Chris Paul. That's as good as anybody. So we'll see. But I think the one thing the Rockets did was make sure there's never any noise about the future of James Harden. He is locked in for the next 6 years.
That is one of the most notable offseason moves you had just mentioned, talking about Chris Paul here in Houston. It's going to be very, very exciting. Why do you think it was time for a change for Chris Paul?
Well, Chris talked about this a little bit, that, you know, one, he's kind of gone 6 years and really weren't able to get any traction. I think they were starting to get annoyed with each other, you know, kind of cabin fever, if you will, you know, 6 years together, same kind of core group of guys. You know, how many times do you slam your head against the wall before you realize
yeah.
that's what's giving you a headache? So he wanted to change, and there was some truth to it. And I think that it's at the end of the day, and I was joking with some of the Clipper guys about this, is you never want to lose a Chris Paul. You know, first scenario is always keep Chris Paul. But if you can't keep Chris Paul, if that's not in the cards and you get Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams and able to do Danilo Gallinari, that is a really good upgrade. You turn one big piece that's been really injured into some smaller pieces that fill gaps in a lot of ways you were never able to fill. So the Clippers may still be where they were. They could be a 50-win team without Chris Paul, but we'll see what Chris Paul is with the Rockets. I think just Chris Paul isn't enough. They've got to get more done there.
Okay, so the Rockets, a 55-win team this past season. Steve, talk to me. How concerned were you that they gave up some really good young pieces and a talent like a Patrick Beverley?
Well, the Rockets, very much like the Dallas Mavericks, view those young pieces as the chips that are going to get you the better piece. And, you know, the Rockets have done this a number of times. There are very few players that are still part of the Rockets organization that were draft picks. You know, they've moved these guys on because young guys under rookie-scale contracts are the currency in the NBA. You know, older players generally aren't very attractive in trade. And, you know, they certainly sacrificed a little bit of depth. But when you look at what Houston has done over the last few years in terms of collecting a large number of second-round draft picks, you know, young guys. Their summer league team is littered with kind of really interesting, promising guys. They've got a great D-League organization. You know, their team was in the D-League finals last year. So they're very good at kind of making these things work. So we'll see. Like I said, it's interesting. But in this league, you do have to give to get. And I think Daryl Morey said it best. When you look at the Golden State Warriors, you've got to adjust your risk profile. You've got to take some chances if you want to compete.
Hey, Steve Kyler's been with us, Basketball Insiders. Check him out, basketballinsiders.com. You enjoy your remaining time in Las Vegas, and we'll catch up again real soon. Thank you, Steve.
Anytime, Alyssa.
You bet. Much more coming your way right here in Hour Number 1 at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Now we are back at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we're getting ready to completely shift gears. We are going to visit with one of the leading authorities in college recruiting. And joining us for the very first time on the show is Robert Cagle. He is the Vice President of Public Relations and National Scouting Director for a company called National Scouting Report. NSR is considered one of the leading recruiting services for potential student athletes. First time on the show. Good evening, Robert. How are you on this Friday night?
At least I'm doing very well. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. Ready for the weekend. But I'm ready to get together with you and talk about college recruiting, because it has certainly changed over the past 10 to 20 years. And I know you are a former Division I athlete. In fact, you played, for all of our listeners, they need to know this, you played football at Ole Miss. So talk to us about how much college coaching or your recruitment, it's changed since you were an athlete. What was the journey like for you as a student athlete?
Well, back in my day, we played in leather helmets, right? No, I'm just kidding. We didn't play in leather helmets.
I thought you were a millennial.
It was in the 80s. Absolutely. It was in the 80s, and Alyssa, you know, back in the 80s, Southeastern Conference recruiting, college football recruiting, it was really regional. I mean, the coaches had connections that were guys they had coached with, coached against. They'd met them at coaching conventions, and they would, you know, go out and they would literally stay within 5 or 6 hours of the college and kind of recruit that area of the high schools on the football side. And it was about relationships. You know, if you had a coach that had recruited a player for a high school coach, or if you had a college coach that had built a great relationship with a high school coach and then recruited a couple of his players over the years, it just kind of seemed to be, well, if that coach had a kid he recommended, then all of a sudden that was the kid that was being recruited, and it was just different. It was a different world back then. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the game has changed so much. If we're just going to talk about college recruiting from a football standpoint, the game has changed so much. The speed of the game, the size of the game, the players, the quickness, the technology, the way that the kids train now, it's a whole different thing. And recruiting has changed as well. The recruiting now, as we've moved into 2000, and really when it really started changing with the dawn of the internet in the 90s, but the game of recruiting for college at Division I level has just taken a whole new meaning. And with it become, it's still relationships. Don't get me wrong. It's about knowing the right people and being able to build relationships with the right coaches. And, you know, I talked to those coaches. I had a Division I football coach call me yesterday, and we were talking about one of the NSR kids that we're dealing with, and it was a head coach. And we spent about 40 minutes on the phone together mm-hmm. catching up because we're old friends. But at the end of the day, it was about, I need you, Coach Cagle, to tell me about this kid that I want to recruit, because I found him and learned about him because you guys at National Scouting Report gave me the information and I trust you. And that's kind of where it's evolved. Now there's so much information out from these online recruiting services, and I won't call the names of those online recruiting services. Unless I don't want to be offensive, but
sure.
If a kid's just got a website online and he's just sending a bunch of emails out to coaches, that's not effective. In fact, every college coach we talk to will tell you, hey, that's killing the whole process. It still is about a kid being evaluated, being scouted, figuring out where that kid really fits athletic skill set wise, where can that kid play and really succeed as an athlete, as a student as well. And you mix all that together, and then the recruiting has become, because of the internet, because of the connections that we have now through text and through email and through phone conversations, we're not limited anymore of how quickly we could transfer information from my phone from video of a kid to a coach. It can be instant. It mm-hmm. literally can be mm-hmm. texted to them and can receive it in a millisecond.
You're listening.
That has changed mm-hmm. the way recruiting has taken a face down. So it still is about connections and people relationships, but the speed of the way that recruiting happens now, so much earlier and so much quicker, has really changed in the last 10 to 12 years.
You are listening to the voice of Robert Cagle. He is the Vice President of Public Relations and National Scouting Director with NSR, that is National Scouting Report. And it is interesting because if you bring up a couple of very good points, I think about how social media has really changed college recruiting. When I was in high school and being recruited, you know, nationally, they contacted me through letters. And then, of course, I sent out, this is really going to date me, my VHS tape.
There you go. There you go. Hey, we're in the same general idea of time.
Well, I'm a Gen X, so. But yeah, I mean, technology. I mean, as far as you know, it just seems like everything. It really has changed and evolved when you start factoring in just social media and that instant connection.
The social media aspect of it is a two-edged sword, and I hope our parents that may be listening to the show tonight that have a kid that's in high school or a kid that's in middle school will listen carefully to what I'm about to say about social media. It is it's changed an entire generation of kids which are growing into adults, and now, to be honest, it's changing adults and the way that we socialize with one another, the way we communicate with each other. But having said that, here's the two-edged sword with social media. A kid can use social media in such a way that's very positive to let people see a kind of a snapshot of their life. You know, mm-hmm. what's important to them. Maybe their faith. Maybe their personal, their family. Maybe their friends. Maybe the way that they their hobbies, their sports. We can look at someone's social media. A college coach, I know as a former coach, you know, even today, I still look at every kid's social media that we work with from a standpoint of what they're putting out there and how it's affecting the perception of them as a person. College coaches are doing that. College coaches are watching kids' Twitter accounts. They're watching kids' Instagrams. They're following those kids and their families, especially the mom and dads that are on Facebook and those families. And that's part of the social media now has become really the standard of kind of the first wave of who this kid is, who this family is, and what they're really all about. You know, what are they about? Is the kid about partying and drinking and being in you know, crazy situations, or are they about their sport and about working hard and they're about putting dedication and commitment? All that can be seen in a kid's, in anybody's social media for that matter. You get to a person's inside a little bit based on what's important to them, what they post out there, if they're in the social media scene. Here's what has changed. You know, it's changed at the collegiate level. What it has is that coaches now can learn about a kid from afar. They don't have to necessarily build a relationship with that kid first before they have the access to that social media. But they can see the social media of that child, that athlete, and then they can determine, is this the character of a kid that we even want to begin the process of looking at recruiting? And so kids need to realize how important their social media is. And parents, you know, you and I have had a conversation before. Mm-hmm. Listen, we've kind of joked about this. Also, coaches are wanting to find out if the parents are crazy as a run-over dog. You know, when they're trying to figure out, figure out, you know, is dad the guy that's going to try to tell him how to coach his kid at the mm-hmm. collegiate level? Is mom going to be that person that's overbearing and is so involved and won't let the kid make decisions? Are they going to be supportive parents? And the social media, believe it or not, of the parents can be seen by the coaches as well. And so it becomes a part of the whole recruiting process. Now, here's what it does also. It becomes powerful in the fact that when we can take positive things, for instance, I think you even mentioned, I saw one of the posts that I put out on Facebook about an NSR alum, Bradley Bozeman, starting center in Alabama, and now he's going to be on the Remington Trophy watch list as one of the top offensive linemen in the country. Former NSR kid, found that kid when he was freshman, going to be a sophomore, and he got signed at Alabama. He's going to be probably an All-American candidate this year and need a draft pick at some point in time. But all that being said, we use those posts, those media moments, that we can share with people all over the country. And when you have that with a high school kid, those college coaches pay attention to that stuff. And so it has changed. Social media has changed so much the face of how we recruit, how coaches scout, the information, how quickly we get it. And that's one thing I tell kids all the time is, look, you know, take care of your character and integrity here. Know who your friends are. You know, don't get caught in a situation where you get the old cuff and stuff. You know, get in a situation where a pair of handcuffs have been put on you and been stuffed in the back of a police car on something you didn't even do just because you were in the car with another kid that had open containers of alcohol and you're both underage, but yet you didn't do anything but get in the car. Well, all of you are going to get cuffed and stuff. And then there's going to be a picture, some kid
that
thinks it's funny. He's going to take a picture of it, and then they're going to post it, and now every coach thinks that you're a kid that's in trouble, and all you did was get in the car. So social media has changed recruiting. It's changed a lot of things. But on the recruiting side, kids have got to really be careful because that instant information that we can get can make a coach want to recruit this kid because of something they saw on their social media, or it can change the direction of that kid's recruiting, and that coach may say, hey, maybe I don't need to recruit this kid. Maybe they're on the edge, or maybe they're going to be a trouble kid. And that's kind of the way it's changed some things. So there's a two-edged sword to it. It's good and it's bad. I try to make sure that when we deal with kids at National Scouting Report, especially those kids that we've chosen to work with. And that's something that you know, you and I have talked a bit about. For 37 years, that's what we've done at National Scouting Report. We've chosen the kids we want to work with. We're not a recruiting service. We're a scouting organization. And so we choose and scout the kids because we're all a bunch of former collegiate players or former college athletes or former college coaches or high school coaches or club or travel coaches. And the things that we do is we evaluate the kids before we ever talk about helping them through the recruiting process. So my point in all this is this. It's important. Social media is important. It has changed. It's a two-edged sword, and everybody's looking at it to see if the kid and the family's a kid that they want to recruit. And even at our point as a recruiting and scouting organization, we're going to look at it, too, and make a determination if it's a kid that we want to help through the recruiting process.
The Vice President of Public Relations and National Scouting Director, NSR, National Scouting Report, Robert Cagle, is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and you can always go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. So, Robert, share with our listeners, I mean, what makes your recruiting service different than others? And perhaps there's a parent that's just, you know, dialing in, tuning in tonight. Where can they go as they're listening to us have this conversation with your service?
Okay. And I want to, we're kind of different in the sense that the word service means, and so we've all used that word recruiting service. And so I apologize for correcting kind of that. But a service implies to someone that if you're willing to pay for it, you can get it. That's not true for National Scouting Report. That's not true at all. We're a recruiting and scouting organization. We have services and programs that we offer families once we've gone through a process to identify the kid and determine that kid can play at the next level. So let's talk a little bit about that real quick. First off, to learn about NSR, you can go to www.nsr-inc.com, and that's www.nsr-inc.com. And you can see the website. It's like any other website. You know, it's nice and it's up to date and flashy and all those good things. But it's the people behind the scenes that matter. It's the individual scouts. We've got about 150 to 200 scouts domestically and internationally in about 11 different countries by the time you figure the United States. And each one of our scouts will have a conversation with an athlete and evaluate that kid in person, the one on film, before we ever talk to that family about recruiting. And that's the difference. You know, 37 years ago, we started this industry, literally created the third-party scouting recruiting organization industry in 1980. Mr. Rigney did that. And it's evolved now into we are the world's leader. We talk about being the largest because not because of the number of kids that we assist every year, because that's not a good true indicator, because not every kid can play collegiate athletics.
Hey, we are talking some college recruiting with Robert Cagle tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back at SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. We're going to continue our conversation talking college recruiting with the Vice President of Public Relations and National Scouting Director with NSR, and that is Robert Cagle. So, Robert, share with our listeners, I mean, what makes your recruiting service different than others?
And we find the kids, and some kids come to us, some families come to us, but we evaluate those kids. You've been through this experience. A scout evaluates a young man, sees they have athletic ability. Then after that, she culls down through an entire group of kids that may have been playing at an event or in a certain sport, chooses the ones that the scout chooses, the NSR scout chooses the ones that they want to talk to. And then from that, they choose if they offer the opportunity for that family to enroll with them. Very similar to how a college coach offers a kid a scholarship. It's a selection process. And that's what separates our scouting recruiting organization from these so many online recruiting services that are a dime a dozen. And they'll take a family's money. They've never seen the kid play. They've never talked to the kid. They've never watched that kid. They've never even talked to the coach of that kid. But yet they're going to help that kid through recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like a doctor. Elizabeth, that's kind of like a doctor that's never seen a patient. But yet the patient says, look, and I'm feeling really bad. I just feel bad all over my body. And the doctor says, well, you probably have a broken toe. We can fix that. Well, no, you can't. I mean, if you're a scout and you're really going to help a kid and a family through recruiting, if you haven't talked to that kid, evaluated that kid, talked to that family, seen that kid play, you can't help that family. That's for us. That's the biggest thing,
yeah,
is that we're going to be personal. We're going to talk to a family. We're going to make sure a kid can play. We're going to make sure, in other words, we're going to scout the kid, and then we're going to help that kid through the process. That's the reason that every kid we work with gets recruited by a school or university, because we're just going to do the right thing as we help them through the process.
Mm-hmm. Let me jump in here. We are running out of time. You know, all I have to say is you guys do a great job as far as it seems like simplifying the process, because recruiting, it is so complex, and parents today, we are all so busy, and it really just helps organize that and put these guys in a position to be able to be placed and play the sport that they love and flourish at the next level. We are out of time. Robert, we have got to have you back. So much more that I want to get into. First time on the show, and we sincerely appreciate it. And we'll talk again real soon. Thanks, Robert.
Listen, thank you so much. Everybody have a great night.